Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Mario Cristobal, Oregon Ducks football coach, joining us. Coach, I gotta know, do you pay attention when they play that on the jumbo screen at Autzen Stadium on game days? Do you ever notice that play?
I haven't watched it while I'm out on the field, but I have seen it before. I have seen it before and have heard the announcement. The commentary goes with it, so yes, sir.
I know that I got here, I didn't really understand sort of the history of that play and what it meant. And is history important in a program? I mean, is it important that your kids know that, or do they just have to focus on the game and the task at hand?
I think awareness of history and understanding it and recognizing is important. I think when you get in the game week, you're completely focused on your team, your execution, your plan, your opponent, what they do, knowing them really well. And I don't think you could deviate from that. I think you got to eliminate all external factors.
I think as a coach, it's tough because you're coaching for this week. You're simultaneously probably got guys on your staff who are recruiting. That becomes a year-round thing. You've got to maintain a connection to the guys who played for before. There's a lot of that going on. I mean, I think it's all important in a program. And how do you balance that in the middle of a season when you get a big week like this?
Oh, I just think it's part of it. I mean, if you want to do it right, you just got to commit yourself to not sleeping and just go to work and just keep going, right? You got to be as efficient as you possibly can, but fully understand that you're just not going to get to bed. And it's okay. It's okay, you know?
Give us an idea. What time you go to bed? What time you wake up?
You don't want to know. There'd be an issue with the health department if I gave you those answers.
But, you know, at some point you tell your guys they need rest. Do you need rest?
No, our guys do. Our players do and our coaches do and everything else. And, you know, I think it's important that they get there. And we make sure that they do. I mean, we actually, as the week goes on, you know, some of the practices, they get shorter or we take off the pads. And we push back the start of meeting times and we certainly incorporate just time management principles that help them manage their day, their academics, take care of their business, and still get to bed at a decent time.
Friday night you play. That gave you Saturday to prep. How much work do you get done with that extra day?
You get a lot, and then you, like you said, you have to balance it because we had a good number of official visits in town. So, you know, you split the day. And you also find yourself watching some more football at night. A lot of our conference opponents were playing, so you kind of get some bonus time there and watch them play on TV, which is, you know, you really get a chance to check out a TV copy.
Do you like the Friday night game or do you like the Saturday tradition college football?
You know, I like Fridays and Saturdays. I like Thursdays too. Never had a Sunday one, but as long as there's ball, then it's, you know, right? It's a blessing, man. Let's just go.
All right. When you look at film for Washington, can you watch early season film? Can you watch? Do you have to watch them at their best, maybe a week ago in the second half? Or what do you do?
You watch it all, and you watch the previous years, and you watch teams that do stuff, you know, that are similar to us on both sides of the ball and on special teams. You go back 4 and 5 years, as much as you need to find anything that might, you know, tip you off or help you in game planning and understanding how they're going to try to attack you, how they're going to try to defend you. So it's pretty extensive. I mean, the actual game plan packets are really thick, but they're thorough. And then you zero in on what you feel confident about on all three phases, and you just go with it.
Washington, until the second half against Arizona, had gone through a spell where they just were not able to get the ball in the end zone. Suddenly, in the second half, they started figuring something out. What do you see them figuring out?
Well, they're really talented, and they just started making big plays. They pushed the ball down the field. They made explosive runs. They forced turnovers on defense and knocked the Arizona back for negative plays. They're a really, really talented team, and they play to their capabilities.
Your defense has been really good, and people are starting to notice that. What's happening on the defensive side of the ball for you guys?
Holistic understanding from front to back, very high-level teaching, high-level buy-in. We're getting more physical. We still got a ways to go. We're not where we want to be yet. I think it's a hungry unit. I think we're getting, again, we're gaining ground. We're nowhere near where we want to be yet, and we're just going to keep chasing that standard. I mean, I think that works for us. We're really not a slogan operation or anything of that nature. We just kind of get after it and try to get better.
When you are disrupting the offense and disrupting the timing and you're knocking them off the ball, how much does that help the defensive backs, the secondary?
Oh, it's almost impossible to be successful on the back end without it. I mean, you think about a hold up against some of the quarterbacks and some of the wide receivers in this conference. Now, that's a tough day unless you could do some things to help you be effective and get the ball out or bat some balls down, right, or get an extra guy in coverage. I mean, it's important to be multiple because it makes it hard for people to really zero in on exactly what you're doing and expose what you're doing. So I think the diversity, the multiplicity of the defense, the personnel usage of it, is really making it difficult on opponents.
Mario Cristobal is with us, Oregon Ducks football coach. A big thing that I've been railing about for a couple years is the assistant salary pool. And I know Oregon and Washington, which will be this weekend, are at the top end for the Pac-12. But how important is it for your program to have the resources to retain guys? Because the more Andy Avalos coaches, I think the more attention he's going to get. How important is retaining your guys?
Well, I mean, college football is a big business, right? I mean, and you're constantly in an arms race as it relates to resources, facilities. So if you want to be really good, it's critical. And it's hard to advance. It's hard to sustain and certainly to compete without it.
You know, I think that Justin Herbert probably doesn't get enough credit for some of the throws that he makes. And it looked like at the beginning of the Colorado game, there was a real effort to try to get him going. Was that predicated from the defense, or is that something as a coaching staff you guys talked about and said, hey, we want to get this guy going?
Well, you know, we think he's as good as there is out there, period. So we want to get him and the rest of the offense going week after week. But, you know, we're always going to choose to get our best players the ball and then have our best players give us a chance to win the game. And there were some things there that were just really good for him that he really liked. So he cut it loose and did a great job. I mean, the guy's been awesome all year. This guy is as good as I've ever seen and been around. So we're looking forward to him to continue his development and growth.
Last year, when you beat Washington at home in overtime, there was a real feeling of joy on the field after the game. I mean, you were hugging your offensive linemen. Everybody was really happy. It was, you know, it had been a couple years, and people were happy about beating Washington. This year, it feels like even if you won the game, the stakes would be even bigger. I mean, am I going too far with that, or is this, how do you frame that?
I mean, you know me. I'm so, like, just buried in the work and just I get lost in the craft and the teaching and all the other stuff. So, and I've learned that for a while. I mean, I didn't understand that probably 20 years ago, but ever since I started coaching and investing in sports psychology, it's kind of been the choice. It's been the way, the path that I use on a weekly basis. So it's hard for me to even kind of, you know, get into some of that stuff that has anything to do other than anything to do with the actual game itself, the competitive, right, the schematics, the motivational side, the preparation side. So, yeah, I'm a boring interview when it comes to that kind of stuff.
No, you're good. You're good on it. And after, all right, after the Colorado game, I never get to see this, and I got a chance to see you interviewed on TV, and I was really impressed that, you know, you had Penei Sewell with you. Bruce Feldman's doing the interview, and I give Bruce a lot of credit because he's the guy who said, hey, I want Penei as part of this. I loved seeing two offensive linemen on television talking, and I could tell how proud you were of Penei.
Well, you know, certainly offensive linemen nowadays look a lot better than when I played. And, I don't think I'd be playing much on this offensive line. But you know what? Guys like that and, you know, the rest of the offensive line, I mean, guys in general on the football team, whenever they have that opportunity, they have that kind of recognition, I think it's awesome because, you know what, no one looks at or sees what's going on behind the scenes and the legitimate hours of investment because I believe everyone works hard in college football and some guys just work maniacally. just get done whatever needs to get done, and he's one of those guys.
How good is he? Is he? I mean, I know he's in the conversation for the Outland Trophy, but you've been around offensive linemen and some really good ones over the years. How good is Penei Sewell?
Well, you know, the moment I say he's a certain level, I'm going to have about four or five former offensive linemen call me and have a little discussion with me, okay?
Yeah.
But no, he's as good or better than anyone I've ever been around, and really at any position. But at the same time, the part that makes him great is that he lets us coach him really hard. He lets us push him. And I'll tell him if he hears this interview, I've reached my compliment quota for him for the year. I'm done.
I watch him, though. I normally...
It's going to be about grinding. That's what works for him. That's what works for our offensive line. They know it. They know that praise at this time of year is just not the best thing in the world for guys that are fighting through bumps and bruises and, you know, the rigors of football. So we got to grind, brother.
I don't normally focus on like one offensive lineman when I'm watching a game. I find myself watching 58 and I go, gosh, he's helping everyone around him. Just you know, a little chip here, a little, and he helps the guys on both sides of him.
He does, but I you gotta focus on 54 and 68. And 55 and 75 and these 66. I mean, these guys are hungry dudes that, man, these are pack your lunch pill every single day and bring it. It's just what they do, you know, and all of them are getting some really good play and every single week getting better and better. And all they want to do is come in, do practice, get better, go to meetings, get better, and go from there and not worry about any hype or nonsense.
Love it. All right, Coach, I will see you at the stadium. Good luck to you. It's a big one, and I know you're ready for it.
Thank you, John. Have a good day.
All right, you too. All right, now you're watching a bunch of offensive linemen. Now, that's how you're going to change the way. I tell you, these guys are going to change the way that you watch Oregon Ducks football. If you're going to use the restroom, you can't do it when they're on defense because that's when they're at their most exciting. And now when they're on offense, you got to be watching the offensive line. Gone are the days of Chip Kelly and Marcus Mariota and LaMichael James. And now we are watching Penei Sewell and his friends on the offensive line. And then on defense, you're watching the Ducks' defensive, Andy Avalos' defense. All right, more thoughts on the Oregon-Washington game next. Special treat coming up top of the hour. Nick Aliotti will be with us. Former Oregon defensive coordinator, man of the world, BFT listener. I appreciate everybody out there who makes this radio show part of their day. You're absolute ambassadors. I listened to a podcast the other day from the founder of LinkedIn. Forget his name. But he was talking about when you build a company. He was talking about tech companies, and he was saying the most valuable customer for a startup is a motivated, engaged super user, right? You'd rather have 50 customers who are just rabid and will go out and tell friends about your product and use your product and put it on social media and tweet it. And I totally relate to that, and this is going to sound a little weird, but I relate to that with you, the listener, because I can remember back in the day when I first started this radio show, the feeling of like, hey, are there only 50 people out there? But they were super users. And they were people who were telling friends to, hey, you got to listen to this show or listen to this podcast or tweet about it. And now I realize that we have a massive audience of 50 or 60,000 super users. And I went out during the commercial break because I was curious. We get ratings every week. And I was curious, all right, what do the ratings look like in the last week? And they said, oh, the ratings came out on Friday. And by the way, you're still the most listened to sports show in the market. That's awesome, regardless of time. Like, that includes afternoon drive, morning drive, whatever. This midday show has a bigger audience than any other sports radio show, I'm venture to say, in the state, okay? Apologies to Klamath Falls. Apologies to Medford and Bend. If you have a show in one of those markets, this show, nobody's listening to sports radio like they're listening to this show. And it isn't us. We do the same damn show, okay? We do the same damn show. It's the same tight
run show that we've done always, except Alabama Adriana's here and Peter's here. And I think that the difference is you, the listener. The difference is that 50 super users have gone out and tweeted about it and talked about it and told friends about it. And those people have told friends about it. And pretty soon you have this audience. And I look up and I'm like, man, the room's full right now. It's incredibly humbling. I did get a comment from somebody the other day who told me that they thought Alabama Adriana, that there's never been a more important, I don't want to say sidekick, but there's never been a more important role player on this show.
Oh, War Eagle, baby. War Eagle.
All right, settle down. Somebody told me first they started off by saying, of all the female characters who have ever been on the show, Debbie Blake, Maddie, Kiki the Exotic Dancer, of all the female personalities that have ever been on this show, that you are the most engaging of the bunch. And that's saying a lot. There's like a Mensa member in there and a stripper in there.
Yeah, that's really nice. I appreciate that.
Then the person said, I'll go one further. The show would not be the same without her there.
That's so sweet. Thank you.
Are you excited about that?
Yeah, that's really awesome.
Oh, War Eagle, baby. War Eagle.
Jeez, settle down. Peter?
Yo.
You're good, too.
Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate that.
They didn't specifically bring you up.
They never do.
But it was more of a conversation about Adriana, because what they were wondering is, what happens when Adriana graduates college?
Right.
Does she leave the show and get a real job? Does she go? What does she do? We got any plans? What are your plans? Are you scared?
Yeah, I am scared. It's scary, the unknown. But I'm not worried to the point of, you know, it's not consuming me. I'm excited. I know I'll be okay, you know, wherever I go, but I don't know exactly where I'm going.
My friends are texting me saying, Peter, you're top five.
Top five? Okay.
Take it, man.
Yeah, no. Well,
that's like out of 500 people that have worked on the show.
Hey, as long as I'm better than John Strong.
Yeah, take it. So I remember in college, when I graduated college, I wasn't scared, but I realized I didn't know what I didn't know, and I immediately applied for 50 jobs at 50 different newspapers, which I did not get right out of college. And I was like, okay, what am I going to do? All right, I guess I'll go be a teacher, and then I'll continue to apply for jobs. And then, like, you know, first day of school that I'm teaching, kid gets stabbed. Then I'm going, what am I doing here? It's a transitional time for you. When do you graduate?
I will technically be done with classes in March of next year, but I will walk at graduation in June.
Okay. So you'll be done in March.
Yeah.
And your degree will be in?
Communication studies.
There you go. Wow. Watched her grow up.
It's awesome.
She knew nothing when she got here. She was like Jell-O, and we have added water and poured it into a bowl, and it's now set, and it looks like something we could serve.
She knew one thing.
Wow, War Eagle!
Yeah, what is that recording from? I just found it.
That is...
Oh, War Eagle, baby! War Eagle!
What's that from?
That's my live reaction to the Auburn-Oregon game.
Oh, you put it on social medias.
Yeah, on Twitter.
Well, the super users out there... Boy, a lot of people. I have a lot of Adriana things in here, by the way. I'm just going to start playing these. Okay?
I'm scared.
Is called... I have no idea what this is. Here's an Adriana with a liner.
Get him on the show. Get her on the show.
What was that for?
That was when we couldn't use that one guy's voice.
Oh, yeah, but now we can do it. Let's see how close she was to sounding like him.
Get him on the show.
Not the same. I have another one. We have callers all the time flirt with you. Mike always does.
And one last thing. Adriana, right?
Alabama Adriana, yep.
No, I like her, man. I like her a lot. And I just want to say to the guys out there that try to call in and want to take her out, Adriana travels in the fast lane. And if you can't keep up, don't step up. Anyway, man, I'll talk to you later.
That's my favorite.
That's your favorite one?
Yeah.
Is that how that ended up in the vault here?
Yeah, I pulled that, I think.
What's this one about a burger?
What?
It says Adriana Burger.
Oh, God, I don't know.
Okay, so honestly, that was the best burger I've ever had. I had the California burger.
They brought in the burger. Hey, by the way, you guys, I had a restaurant ask me, because we were complaining about food. They said, do you want to have a burger? Like, you know, just tell us which day to bring it, which time, and we'll bring you, meaning me, a hamburger. Okay? One hamburger. All right? And rather than say, oh, that would be great, I said, I'm going to need more than one burger if you're going to bring them in. You got to bring in four. And that included, I included one for Peter.
Thank you.
Top five, get you a burger.
Yeah.
I included one for Adriana. And then one for lonely old Judah, who's sitting out there, who always, every time we bring food in, he'll look over and go like, oh, you forgot me. Because he's not in sight.
Makes a face like a coon hound.
So I just want you guys to know, I could have just said, yeah, I'll take a burger. That'd be awesome. So
thank you for that.
November 18th at noon, you're going to get a burger.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.